If you'd open your Bibles, we're going to share something tonight, and actually the next several weeks here, we're going to do a teaching on prayer. And Jeremiah 33 is where we want to start. One of the greatest passages of Scripture on prayer is in Jeremiah 33. I'll wait for you to get there, because I want you to, faith comes by hearing, but I want you to see this verse too as we read it. What a great opportunity we have that you and I can sit here and talk and fellowship with one another, you know. But we have a great opportunity that we can talk with the Creator of the universe. And He invites us to come. He invites us to call upon Him. He wants to hear from us. And in Jeremiah 33, look what it says in verse number 3, a very familiar passage for most of us. And it says, the Lord invites Jeremiah. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now this is God speaking to our brother in the Lord, Jeremiah. And God is encouraging Jeremiah. And by the way, Jeremiah was in the pit. He was in prison. He wasn't in a good place of worship. He was in a prison. And God says, Jeremiah, you can call unto me. And guess what? I will hear and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. I could use some great and mighty things in my life. Amen? I would like to see God do some things in my life. I would like to see God do some things at Regency Baptist Church that have never been seen before. I think we can put God in a box and say, that's all we trust you for. But God says, you can extend it however far you want. Call unto me and I will answer thee and I will show thee great and mighty things. And notice what He says, which you have never even, you don't know about. You have never even imagined. You never thought. And I thought, that is a great thing to kick off the new year. Why would we neglect such an opportunity? And yet I believe that prayer is one of the greatest neglects in the Christian life. That we have the great God of the heavens and the earth. The Bible calls Him the Almighty. That not only created all things by the power of His mouth, but all things hold together by that same power, who invites Kevin Heimer, a sinner, to come to Him and says, I want to talk with you. I want to fellowship with you. Why would we neglect that? Now, I want to show you that the Bible speaks a lot about prayer. Just listen to some of these verses of Scripture. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:12, he says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, His ears are open unto their prayers. Now, to be righteous doesn't mean that we're standing as if we've done something of ourselves. We're righteous because of what Christ did for us. When you called upon God for salvation, you had your sins imputed or transferred to the cross, and Christ took His right standing, His righteousness, and imputed it to you. So you, when you receive Christ as your Savior, are righteous. We saw Sunday that we are saints, right? Because that's what God did. He saved us and He set us apart. We're saints. But we're also righteous. And Peter says here that the Lord's eyes are over the righteous. That means God is watching over us. Now, y'all are saved tonight, right? Then you fit into this category. And Peter's telling us, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open. God, that phrase, ears are open, means that God is leaning forward and He has His ear inclined when you and I begin to call upon Him on that invitation. Psalm 66:20 says, blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer. God's not going to walk from you on that. Listen to 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, be serious, and watch unto prayer. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. In Acts 2:42, the early church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and they continued steadfastly in prayer. Colossians 4:2 says that we are to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Proverbs 15:8 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. It makes God sick. But he goes on and says here, but the prayer of the upright, I like this, is his delight. When you and I come before God and bring our petitions, or we're interceding for someone else, as some of you guys were just doing on the behalf of other people, God says, I take delight in that. I want to show myself mighty. I have my ears open unto you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. I delight when my people come and ask. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. 2 Chronicles 6:35, listen to what this one says. Then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, and it shall be opened, right? And then the favorite verse of Dr. John R. Rice. You know, a lot of these guys that we are familiar with, as we pass away as a generation, the next generation is not familiar with them. John R. Rice wrote one of the first books I ever read on prayer. Prayer is asking. That's all it was entitled. And this was John R. Rice's favorite verse of Scripture, Psalm 65:2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. That means you and I should be a part of that all flesh. Now, there's a lot, and that's just a small portion that we could write on verses where we see the excitement that God has when we come to Him, how He loves to have us come and seek Him and pray. Adrian Rogers is one of my favorite preachers. He's gone on to be with the Lord. Adrian Rogers said this, and I have never forgot it. I just now forgot it. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Are you ready? I did forget it. I'm going to be 62 in February, so those things are starting to happen. He says, the biggest mistake, he's talking about Christians, the biggest mistake is not unanswered prayer. The biggest mistake is unoffered prayer. You have not because you ask not. Or we ask amiss to consume it upon our lusts. Now I want to share with something as we get into this that I don't know if I'll finish this or this will be a two-parter. We'll see how time goes here. But I want to talk to you about, if we're talking about prayer, we see how much God loves talking about it. We only shared just a few verses. I want you to turn, if you would, to a couple of verses tonight. And the first one I want you to turn to is Psalm 66:18. Now we saw in Jeremiah 33 that He wants us to call upon Him, right? There's no question about it. But I want you to notice Psalm 66:18 with me, if you would. And as we consider this passage, I want you to notice a couple of things here in it. The Bible says here, knowing that God wants to hear from us, He says in verse 18, the psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Wow. Here's a God that wants to hear from us so that He can show us great and mighty things. But there is something that can keep Him from hearing us. And that's if we regard iniquity in our heart. Now I want you to look at that verse again. And I'm going to change a couple of words in it, alright? I'm not going to alter it in the wrong way. I want you to see what I'm going to do. I do this a lot for myself. I personalize things. And it's, verse 18 could say, if Kevin regards iniquity in Kevin's heart, the Lord will not hear Kevin. If I want to continue to have sin here and I don't want to confess my sin or abhor it or forsake it, God says, well, there's consequences that come with that. Psalm 66:18 is a passage of Scripture that you should put your name in. You ought to take a lot of verses of Scripture and personalize them, but this is one. So if we read this, you could put your name right into that. If you regard iniquity in your heart, and you place your name in there, God will not hear, and you place your name there. We need to personalize Scripture. It's meant for us. understand what this verse is telling us here. Nothing hinders prayer like sin that is cherished in the heart. Nothing hinders prayer like sin that is cherished in the heart. The believer must take the same attitude towards sin that God does. And we know that according to Scripture that God abhors it. God wants us to confess it. God wants us to forsake it, depart from it. And if we refuse, if I refuse, if you refuse to heed God's command, He refuses to hear our cry. Now think about that. I'm not going to listen. I'm going to do, God says I'm not supposed to do this, and I've got this sin in my life. I'm going to keep it here. He says, I can't hear you. If you decide to not listen to me, I will not listen to you. And folks, this is the same God that says, I want to show you great and mighty things. It's not like He's wanting to withhold these things. He wants us to be enjoying all of this opportunity. And we can thank God that the Christian does not have to continue in prayer, amen, or continue in sin. Yeah, we should continue in prayer. We don't have to live out of communion with God. I heard a preacher who I really like a lot. His name is Scott Pauley. Brother Scott Pauley said, your Christian life is your prayer life. Now, I want you to sit on that one for a while. And I want you to consider, what is your prayer life right now? Because it doesn't really matter how we appear or how we look or how we, are acting. God says, if you don't have a prayer life, that's the extent of your Christian life. You don't have communion with God. David said this, and by the way, look at Psalm 66:18 again. What's good about Psalm 66:18 is, watch, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know what's good about that? It's verse 19. Mm-hmm. Verse 19 says, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. That word verily means certainly. Once I get sent out, God says, come on and let me show you great and mighty things again. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess our sins, God is faithful, God is just, and I want to add something in here. God is quick to forgive. The Bible says He takes our sins and casts them into the depths of the sea. He takes our sins and puts them behind His back. The Bible says, my favorite one is, I always tell everybody, He casts them as far as the east is from the west. So far has He removed our transgressions from us. Now, I should have brought a globe in here tonight. I got a globe in my office. Excuse me. But the Bible didn't say, what's right to the water? Oh, there's one over here. Yeah, hey, great job. We're going to be taking up an offering here, all right? Notice what God says. God says, I've taken your sins, I've cast them as far as the east is from the west. So if we find where we are here, we're in Texas, okay. Right here, and we start going east. As we go east, we go on around here, we're still going east, and we continue on around here, and we're still going east, and we get back to Texas, we're still going east. If we leave Texas and start heading west, west goes around and around and around and around and around and around and around. East and west never meet. East and west never meet. If he would have said, I cast your sins as far as the north is from the south, here we are at the North Pole, we start heading south, we hit the South Pole, but now we're heading north. North and south meet. And God said, I didn't cast your sins as far as the north is from the south, saying that we would meet them again. He says, I cast them as far as the east is from the west. So far have I removed you. We will never meet that sin again. He'll never bring it up. He cleanses us completely, fully, and casts it that way. We'll never be confronted by that. And when we confess our sins, He will quickly forgive us of those sins. Folks, it's really a wonderful thing when you think about it, that God forgives fully, that God forgives freely when we confess and forsake, and He places us back again on praying ground where He says, call unto me again. And guess what? I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, that's a whole lot not like man. We're not that quick and we're not that thorough, but God is with us. Amen. Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. This is a very important verse here for all of us. The psalmist says in Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities. The word mark here means to keep track of. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. If God was to say, okay, I'm keeping track, I'm marking, none of us would be able to stand before Him. Do you realize that we sin in one of three areas? We sin in thought. Anybody ever had a bad thought here? Raise your hand. No, just say amen. Okay, we laugh about it. Okay, we've had bad thoughts, right? You ever? We sin in thought, we sin in word. Anybody ever said the wrong thing, or you said something with a very sharp thing? You know, we sin with our tongue. James talks about that. And we sin in deeds, in our actions. And we've all done those three areas, right? Let's just say that we're all really, really good sinners, all right? And that we've only sinned in those three areas once of each one each day. I've had one bad thought today. I said one thing that I shouldn't have said, or was sharp the way I said it, or even as a driver, you know, driving down Texas road, do you realize that if you only sin three times a day in one of those three categories, you would stand before a righteous judge at the end of 1 year with 1,095 counts against you? That's just 1 year, and that's if we just did it once a day, three times a day, each one of those. Now, take that 1,095, and you can go ahead and do this on your own, multiply it by your age. And that's if we were just doing the minimum. Do you see why, if I regard iniquity in my heart? Because we, a lot of times, are going around, and we might even be praying, thinking God's hearing us, but if we have something in our hearts that we haven't confessed, bitterness, we just haven't let go of that, what that person did to me. We're going to be talking about the power of forgiveness Sunday. Great message God has given me for myself that I think will help you. There's no better time to start off with a clean slate than the new year, and God will show us how to do that Sunday. But my friends, we need to see how serious God is about this. He's serious about showing us great and mighty things, but He's serious of making sure that we are prepared to pray by getting things out of our life that are displeasing to Him. So let me ask you this question here. What is it that keeps God from hearing your prayers? When was the last time, if I would say, how many of you have prayed and asked God for something? You'd say, amen. What was the last answer that you have that you could say, well, God answered this, and He answered this, and He answered this? Do we record? Because that's why we have prayer and praise. Prayer is asking God to intervene for what we need. Praise is thanking God for intervening for what we needed. And a lot of times we're lopsided. We have all this prayer request over here, but we have no praise because it appears that it really wasn't answered. Maybe it wasn't because it wasn't just His will. Maybe it's because He just never heard, because I had iniquity. And so what is it that keeps God from hearing, and I'm not putting this out as a generic term, you, my prayers? Is there something that's keeping you and I from God hearing us. And the way the Holy Spirit works in that still, small voice, He'll show it to us if we're serious about it. Matter of fact, we're going to go to another passage of Scripture. I said there's two passages. Psalm 139, if you would. Psalm 139. Should be just a few pages to the right there. I mean, I want to know that God's hearing me. In Psalm 139... look with me at verse number 23 and 24. The psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Now watch. "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The best preparation for prayer is a cleansed heart, pure thoughts, and the right way, going in the way that God wants us to be going into. I mean, we can be pretty serious about ourselves and yet be unconscious of our worst sins. What do I mean by that? Here we have the psalmist is asking God in this verse to do the searching. Search me, O God. A lot of times when we are confessing sins, we may have just said something. We just might have got in an argument with our spouse. And we apologize to them and then we say, "Lord, I was wrong. I was out of line. Please forgive me of that." That's a very simple thing that we understand and we see. Or that dumb, I'm using a nice word, that dumb driver. Where did he get his driver's license from, you know? And, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. He was created in your image. And we can confess that. But here he's asking God to not just give him the surface. A lot of times we confess surface sins. The psalmist is asking God to do this searching. And when we ask God, when we take time in prayer, and understand, Jesus taught, he asked the question to his disciples, "What could you not pray with me 1 hour?" We can do a lot of things for several hours. You can spend an hour and it goes by like that on your cell phone. Can it not happen? We all know it does. As a matter of fact, if you're not sure if you did, you can take your phone out and slide it to the side. It'll show you how much time you spent on social media. And I'll guarantee you, today in which we're living, I'm not talking about Regency, I'm talking about other churches, all right? People spend more time on their social media than they do speaking to the one who says, "I can show you great things." Do you think God will ask us why? Jesus asked himself, "What could you not pray with me 1 hour?" 1 hour is a long time. One of these days we'll show you how to break that hour down in 5-minute increments and be effective in your prayer. But here he's asking God. So that means when I come over here, what the psalmist is doing is he's kneeling down before the Lord. And he's saying, "Search me, O Lord. See if there's anything that's wicked in me." Evidently, there's areas in the sinner's heart. The sinner's heart is so complex that there are chambers, I think, that are in the heart inside of other chambers. And we can confess these things that are on the top here. But there are things that are down in the depths of our heart that only God can see. You can't see my heart. I can't see my heart. God can. And God tells us in Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9 that the heart is deceitful desperately wicked. And then he asks a question, who can know it? And then he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. You and I can't even trust our own heart. So when that psalmist, and when you and I get serious about this, Lord, I don't want my prayer to be hindered in any way. I've confessed, Lord, to you what I know. Now I ask you to do the searching. And if what happens in that time, you don't have to ask a bunch of things. You just have to invite him to search. And as you sit there, we think of that psalm in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Nobody else can tell you what's down deep here than except God. And if you'll just sit there quietly, if there's things that are there, if you'll wait on the Lord, he will begin through his Spirit to bring things to your mind. And you'll say, what? That? Don't argue with God. Just say, okay, Lord, whatever you bring to my mind, I will confess that I'm guilty of it. I want to be cleansed. I want to be right. I want you to hear. We can discover a few things here and there, but God will go down into the depths of our heart because it is God alone that can do the real searching. He can search the heart. He can search the thoughts. Notice, if you would, at Psalm 139 here, verse 3 and 4. Excuse me again. This is what I would call a very personal psalm, verses here. Look, if you would, if you don't mind writing in your Bible, you ought to watch what happens. In verse 23, underline or circle the little word me. Me. And then you have, right after that, my heart. And then you have the word me. And then you have my thoughts. And then you have in verse 24, me. And then you have me. It's a very personal psalm. Search Kevin, O God, and know Kevin's heart. Try Kevin and know Kevin's thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in Kevin, and lead Kevin in the way everlasting. Folks, this is a personal letter to you and I. It's not just a generic thing that God wrote for these people. He's preserved it for us to see that God's speaking to me personally. It's not just for David, it's for me. You know, it's not difficult to observe and even confess the secret faults of others. We see everybody else's secret faults, don't we? They're pretty blatant. And we can be so guilty of seeing other people's that we are unconscious of ours, and even be pious about it. In the church, as the Pharisee stood there praying thus with himself, he was very pious. Oh, Lord, I'm glad that I tithe, you know, and I do this, and I fast twice a week. And Lord, I'm glad I'm not like him. I was going to say Don. I don't want to pick on anybody tonight. I only pick on people I like, okay? And the more you hang around, the more I'll pick on you, all right? Because this is a likable crowd. But we can quickly spot things with people. You know, Paul, when he was writing to the Romans, you that say thou shalt not, what, covet? Does thou covet? A lot of times when we stand on our little soapbox and say, I can't believe they do that, we're actually guilty of the things that they're probably being charged with. God is so kind and merciful. Jeremiah 33:3. We're coming back to. God says to everybody here tonight at Regency, from the eldest to the youngest, call unto me. That's an invitation. And I will answer thee. Wow. And will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I want God to do that in my personal life, in my family, in my social life, in our church. David said in one of the Psalms, and this is what my prayer is for Regency, that God will do such great and mighty things that we can say like David, that they may know, anybody that's watching, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, has done it. He gets all the glory. He wants to do so much for us, but he says, before you begin to pray, there must be preparation. You need to take care of any sin in your heart. That you can see and confess and forsake and then invite me to do some more searching. And let's get this thing cleaned out completely. Let me read a poem I found here. It says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Hear, O God, my fervent prayer. Search my bosom's deepest depths. Every dark recess lay bare. Men by outward semblance judge. Thou dost look upon the heart. Thou dost see me as I am, when I am from men apart. A lot of times when we go off away from other people, we look this way, we look that way, hoping nobody sees us, and we forget to look up. That's what happened to Moses when he slew that Egyptian. He looked this way and he looked that way, and God saw it. Brethren, right now, this evening, let me encourage us all. I'm not asking for an altar call. I'm just asking you to consider where you are this evening. We're in a new decade, 2020. Say, Lord, I want to see not just little areas of prayer answered. I'm praying for people to get better that have a flu. They need prayer. That have allergies. They need prayer. But you know what? We know that those are going to heal, correct? Those are simple prayers. We're just asking God to come along and speed the process. It's going to pass away. But how about for some things that we know not? God, show me some great things. And I want us to begin tonight, but right where you're seated, just have a quiet time and say, you know, we got 8 minutes here. And just have a quiet time with you and God. And just bow your heart, bow your spirit right now, and ask God, search my heart. I don't want any iniquity in my heart. I want you to reveal if there's something deep down in there, Lord, please reveal it to me so I can ask you to forgive me and be cleansed of it. I don't want anything to hinder my prayer to you. Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. How many of y'all want God to hear you tonight? This is the first prayer He'll hear, right here. It's the sinner coming. Let's pray.